Welcome to my stories and journeys where the river flows. And this river is Avon Wisk, the Usk. When I finished season one of this podcast, which was a year's journey with Rambler around the old land of Gwent in a big circle, there was another journey waiting. And as it always seems to me, another errand waiting. What was it though? What needed to be done? What needed to be spoken about? And I didn't have to sit with that question for very long before I knew that the errand that was waiting was with the Usk, which I think of as my family river. Yes. It was like this. There was a woman called Anne, and a woman called Mary, and a woman called Jemima, and they were all born and they all lived on the banks of the Usk in a place called Llanbadog. They were a gran, a mam, and a daughter. And they were my five times great-grandmother, my four times great-grandmother, and my three times great-grandmother. Now, Jemima must have had a wandering spirit because she moved 4 miles away to set up home so that my 3, 2, and 1 times great-grandmother and my gran and my mam and me lived there to the west of the Usk beside one of the tributaries, the Avon Llwyd, and walked back and fore to the Usk to visit family and visit friends and visit the river. And so this river flowed into my childhood memories. There I was, standing knee-deep in the Usk. When I was about 4 or 5 years old, it was just outside the town of Usk at a spot called Usk Island, which for me then was a magical place. To get to the water, you had to walk across a field of buttercups, which were tall and golden, growing as high as my head. And while Mum sat and talked to her friend, I waded bravely into the water up to my knees and stood and felt the vastness of the day and the gold of the buttercups and the wonder of the river, which appeared around a bend, come from who knew where, and disappeared around another bend, going who knew where. The far bank of the river looked impossibly distant, and with the gritty riverbed beneath my toes, I waited and watched for the thing that always happened, a swan gliding into view from the bend in the river. If I couldn't swim across to the other side, mightn't I be able to travel down the river on the back of a swan, tucked up in the soft whiteness of feathers, to discover what lay beyond? Beyond the bend in the river.
On the back of a swan, it
If the Usk was an ancestral family river and a river of childhood memory, there was something else as well. I had become increasingly aware of the pollution that's affecting our rivers and that the Usk was included in this. I had discovered Save the River Usk, and with the help of Angela Jones, I learned how to test samples of river water and send the results for inclusion in a growing data bank, which kept track of the water quality and the constant shocks it was suffering. I became aware that a good many of the people involved in sampling the water knew the river or stretches of it so well, so intimately, as swimmers, anglers, keen observers year in, year out. And I realised that I did not. My knowledge was small, fragmentary. I wanted to know this river better. Just a little better would be something. Of course, I knew a fair few stories and legends that belonged here and there along the river, bits of history of the Usk. But really, in the main, my connections with the Usk were all downriver in the last few miles of her journey. With the muddy, wide tide the river becomes as she travels through Newport to the estuary. And so I understood that my errands now lay along the whole length of the river, beginning at the source. Now, it's not the first time that I've set out to travel to the source of a river, but each time I've done so, it's always seemed very challenging, also very pressing. Sometimes at the start of a new venture or a new journey, amidst all the excitement, fear will rise up or a lack of confidence. But in the case of travelling to the source of a river, I don't think it's exactly that, but it's a strong feeling that rises up. And each time I've done it, it's felt like something momentous happened, like some kind of turning point for me. And I wondered if the same thing would happen this time. Anyhow, once the decision to take this journey was made, it quickly took on the nature of a vow, and with it a pledge to share an account of the journey by the beginning of May. And with that, the course was set. Now, the Usk is 76 miles or so in length, the longest river to run her whole course within Wales. The source of the Usk is in the west of the Banau Brycheiniog, on the slopes of Mynydd Du. This is a wild landscape. It's not an easy land to move through, and it's a land of stories. Not far away is Llyn y Fan Fach, with the otherworld lady and her herd of magical cattle. And nearby too, her descendants, the line of the Doctors of Myddfai. Really, this is the borderland of Breconshire and Carmarthenshire. And the Usk herself, for the first few miles of her journey, is the border. She's been pressed into service, as we often spoke about before in season one, the way rivers are co-opted to become borders between lands. In these first wild few miles of her journey, the Usk is often referred to as the infant Usk. Rivers starting out from their source are often referred to as young, but that always seems a bit strange to me because river water, when it comes up from the ground, has already had something of an underground life. Depending on the type of ground where the rain fell, and whether it seeps from a bog or trickles from a glacier or springs out from under a rock, it could have been weeks, years, decades, centuries, or even longer underground. Now, the source of the Usk happens to lie within the Forest Fawr Geopark, which is a very good resource for finding out about the geology of this area. As well as being a border between two counties, the Usk rises just south of a much older, deeper border. The border between the Silurian rocks to the north and the Devonian sandstone. And really, as soon as you're out walking, you're aware of that rich red sandstone. The rocks that caught the rain that fell and that in turn formed the River Usk have complex stories. The whole landscape is shaped by the last ice age. An ancient continent eroded into folds and faults, worn down with rivers carrying sand, mud, grit, and silt. One of the things that was most helpful to me in understanding what happened to the rain before it became the River Usk was to be able to picture the rock below the surface of the soil and to understand that, depending on its nature, rock can have some sponge-like qualities with tiny, tiny porosity to hold raindrops, and that those rocks are also fissured and cracked in a way that carries and streams the flow of water and channels it at last to come out from underground. And having found out a little bit about the story of the underground life of the River Usk, there was really nothing else to do but to set out on the errand. I decided that base camp would be Glasvenydd Car Park, and it's about 3 miles following the river from there up to the slope of Waenllwyd to the source, and there are no paths as such. So it was going to be 3 miles of wild walking upriver and another 3 miles back again from the source, and I was armed with the OS map and the app and the best kit I could muster and snacks, and I was as ready as I could be for wild walking. If you know Banau Brycheiniog, if you've walked there or even if you've driven through, you can maybe picture the landscape a bit, how wild, how lonely it is. And I'd done some preparatory walking on my own just to acclimatise myself a bit and get the lie of the land and the feel of the river. But I knew from the weather forecast that the only day I had to do the whole walk was going to be rainy, and it was going to be windy as well. And I decided not to do the whole walk alone, and my partner Richard came with me as my walking buddy on the day. Glasvenydd Car Park is right next to the first bridge that crosses the Usk, Pontarwisg. It's not a very inspiring bridge, to be honest, but it carries the moorland road from Tricastell. And watching the Usk flow under this first bridge, you get the strong feeling that she's already got the hang of things. She's already wide, a good 15, 18 feet or so, and brisk, real mountain river flowing. Having walked a bit on the Breconshire side of the river the day before, I decided we should head out for the source on the Carmarthenshire side of the river. So over the bridge we went. Into the driving rain and the wind we went. It's not that the rain was particularly heavy or torrential, it's just that it hit you at speed. And wherever you looked, the land and the sky were grey-brown and wet, and the river winding through it. Now, although I tried, I actually hadn't succeeded in speaking to anyone who had done that walk. There must be plenty of people who've done it. But nevertheless, I knew a bit about what it is to walk on this landscape where there are no paths. And the first point is that you're walking for a lot of the time on tussock grass with an underlay of moss. And the moss, certainly at the moment, certainly on the day we walked, the moss is a big wet sponge. and the tussock grass grows quite high, so at every step you have a choice between walking into a little squelchy pad of sphagnum moss or similar, or of lifting your feet quite high to step onto the drier tussock grass. Most of the time the tussock grass felt like the better choice, so you're walking along lifting your legs very high, and after a while you start to feel a bit like a pony. It's quite a strenuous hip and thigh workout. On the plus side though, if you tripped and fell, you'd have a soggy landing, but quite a soft one. It's also quite possible to sink up to your ankles in water. So with my head down against the driving rain, I did find myself looking for quite a while intently at the bright green moss and the straw beige grass, and on the lookout for mini sinkholes. And all the time the Usk is so quick, dark and glassy, with white bubbling sections over stones. Already there are sections where she's cut herself a deep channel, and on both sides of the river the Usk is joined by tributaries, so you have to find a place to pick your way across. And we successfully forded Dinantwisg and Nantalloy, and the ground carried on rising quite gently really, and the rain carried on falling less gently. It should really be fairly easy to follow a river back to the source, because that's what you're doing, you're following. But there is a possibility that you might accidentally follow a tributary instead, because the tributaries as they arrive are sometimes pretty much the same size as the river. So we did keep checking the app from time to time, but after about an hour and a half of walking into the wind and the rain, our fingers and phone screens were getting cold and wet with app checking, so we kind of minimised the amount of time we did that and just kept a good eye out for where we were going. Since setting out from the bridge, we'd only seen a small herd of ponies nuzzling and rubbing one another's shoulders, and a small herd of squaddies on a distant ridge. Other than that, no one out and about. And I have to say that the rain sweeping across the beacons and the cold April wind made it rough going. And it was taking a good bit longer than we thought than it really would have under better weather conditions. And it really was touch and go whether or not to turn back. But we didn't. The tributaries were getting more and more frequent, and so we picked our way across to the Brecon side, where there were fewer of them. And by now, the Usk was shrinking, getting thinner, still full of force and energy, brisk flowing, but definitely narrower. And then that lovely point came, that does come when you're moving to the source of a river, where instead of having to pick or splash your way across, you can just step across from one side to the other. And we started to come across little bubbling pools where it was as if there was a soda fountain under the water, just little bubbles pricking to the surface. And it started to seem as if the land and the water were really woven together now. There's one sight that I always love to see, and that is clear water flowing over grass. And when here and there I saw the Usk beginning to do that, I felt a surge of delight. And the climb began to get a little steeper. It was still windy and raining, and we felt that this must surely be the last section now. And then at last, there we were, at the place where the river came out from the rock, busily, and someone had even put a little post up to say source of the Usk. And as we stood there, lo and behold, for the first time on the walk, a gap appeared in the grey skies and the sun shone down on us, on the source of the Usk, on the whole wild land. And it really did feel like a little seal of approval on the moment. And it seemed to me as I stood there that all of the waters that were bubbling up all around, all of these waters were the Usk, and they were joining the main stream at every inch of the way, growing and growing into the river the Usk was becoming. It was a whole hillside full of waters that formed the river. And this steady, bright river weaving had been going on moment by moment, day after day, for millennia. It was going on when I stood knee-deep between two bends in the river as a little child. And every moment since then. All that time it had been flowing steadily out from the hill, into the light or into the dark. In Welsh, the place where a spring comes from the rock is called Llygad, the eye of the spring. And I thought about how the eye of the Usk opens up to the moorland in the grey driving rain or the bright sunshine, or opens up to the starlight and the moon, the dark skies that stretch across Banai Brycheiniog. And all those things came into my mind, but there wasn't really very long to dwell on them because the burst of sunshine that had marked our arrival at the source soon turned grey again. The walk had taken us considerably longer than we'd accounted for, and it was still cold, and we decided to head back, not following the twists and turns of the rivers so exactly as we had on the way up, but to try and steer a straighter path back to the bridge. Before we left, though, I filled a small bottle with water from the source. Clear. Clear as crystal, clear as Brecon gin, beautiful to look at, beautiful to see. Back at Glasvenydd, I took a moment to look out again along the length of the river that we'd walked beside. And I found myself wondering about the distance between the small girl making her way through the buttercups to the water and the grandmother who had just made her way across the rainy moorland to the source. What connected and what separated the two? And perhaps by way of a kind of answer, as we were getting ready to leave, I caught sight away in the distance of what looked to be two swans flying high over the land and far above the river, journeying on across the sky.
Journey on inside your mind. swan. You can go wherever you want.
Thank you for keeping me company in my journeys and stories where the river flows. And I'll see you again on Down the Track.